We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Dynasty Recast on RotoViz Radio on the Blue Wire Network. This evening, I am riding solo, as the one Trey Songz once said. Dan Sanyo, not in the building this evening. I am the one in the building. I am the one behind the mic. So we're going to talk about some Week 4 action. I mean, because I'm all alone, I even forgot my catchphrase, Week 4. As the kids say, is in the books, as you're listening to this in your ear holes. But as Dan says, don't spoil Monday night because we haven't seen it yet. So we're going to go over the news, Dynasty news and notes of Week 4 and how to prepare for Week 5 and the rest of the Dynasty fantasy football season. All righty, so let's just get right into it. And this episode is going to be brought to you by the Game Splits app, meaning I'm going to be game splitting everything you can think of. I'm going to game split it. We'll see how many game splits I do. I'm going to aim for at least three game splits. We'll see how it goes. All right. So first one we got the Dolphins. You may or may not have listened to the bold predictions episode of Dynasty Recast. And if you did, you should delete everything you heard from that, because they're bold. They were bold predictions. Nobody said they were good predictions. Dan might've said he had some good predictions. I didn't say that. I said it bold. I wanted to go out on a limb, and I picked the Miami Dolphins as Super Bowl champions. It is Week 4, and I would like to report that the Miami Dolphins are not going to win the Super Bowl. In fact, the Miami Dolphins are probably not going to make the playoffs. Most likely, they're not going to make the playoffs. They've had a game and a few snaps of Tua. Even with that, they've been terrible across the board. I'm pretty sure they're 0-4, unless I should have checked that before going on this rant. But yeah, definitely have not lived up to expectations so far this season. Definitely a disappointment for the Miami Dolphins, who are second in the AFC East. So does that mean everyone's won? No, they're 1-3. They're 1-3. They did win one game, but they're 1-3. They're terrible. They're not going to make the playoffs. And just waiting for Tua to come back. But really, it's not just Tua. It's not just quarterback that was a problem. When I hypothesized, when I made the prediction, I was like, hey, they're just a quarterback away, and their quarterback's going to get better, and they're a lot more than a quarterback away. So don't do a ton of NFL hashtag analysis on this podcast, but the Dolphins are a lot worse than expected. I guess to spin it from a fantasy perspective, we kind of knew they'd have to throw the ball because Miles Gaskin and Malcolm Brown were their running backs. But as the season progresses, as the team continues to be bad. They're going to be a pass heavy team, which is going to be good for Will Fuller as he gets into the fold. And he's been a little bit absent as far as didn't play the first couple of games and hasn't done much in the following two. You know, this past week, what did he have? He had one catch for 6 yards, and I knew he had 2-point conversion week four. But as that offense opens up from a passing perspective, it will be beneficial. It would be beneficial for Will Fuller in fantasy. Jalen Waddle has had some flashes. He had 3 catches for the 33 this week, but he had some. I think he had a touchdown the week before. Jalen Waddle's shown some things through the first couple of weeks. And Devontae Parker, what did Devontae Parker do yesterday? Devontae Parker had 4 catches, 77, and a touchdown. So not a bad day, but that is going to happen when they were trailing the entire game. So there's going to be some passing volume in that offense. So what do you take from the fantasy angle of this is that Dolphins are bad. Dolphins are going to have to throw a bunch. Hopefully that will be Tua sooner rather than later after his IR stint. Next on the Dynasty Tradecast, we're going to talk about Trey Lance. What's going on with Trey Lance? Let's see. Trey Lance had his first shot as the 49ers quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. Trey Lance played the whole second half. And there were some fantasy goodness to be had. 157 passing yards, 41 rushing yards, a rushing two-pointer, and 2 passing touchdowns. So it's kind of been the case the entire time. As you know, we've been waiting. Okay, how long is Garoppolo going to be in there? And the answer has kind of always been like the 49ers expect to be a good team, so we don't really know if they're going to go to the rookie as opposed to the veteran as a contending team. But they are 2-2. Granted, 2-2 with losses to good teams with the Seahawks and Packers, and then wins against bad teams in the forms of the Eagles and the Lions. So. All this week proved is that once Trey Lance has the keys to the castle, once Trey Lance is the starter for the 49ers, there will be fantasy goodness to be had with those rushing yards, with the rushing two-pointers, those are always fun, and rushing touchdowns as we go along. And so Trey Lance has actually probably been the most impressive rookie quarterback. Mac Jones, you know, depends on who you talk to, whether some people think he had an incredible Sunday night game against the Buccaneers, some people thought he was incredibly mediocre. I think it was somewhere in the middle, but the story of the season, as we talked about, I think it was the last week's podcast the week before, is that the rookie quarterbacks have been a disappointment so far. And the one who hasn't has been Trey Lance. Trey Lance, when he's been playing, has played well. And so it's just a matter of time until he is named the starter, until he starts putting up those fantasy points. So if we were redrafting the rookie class, if we were, re-ranking the rookie class, I really couldn't fault anybody for putting Trey Lance QB1. Call that an overreaction. Call that selling low on Trevor Lawrence. Call that selling low on Justin Fields, who had a good first win it himself as a starter. But Trey Lance has looked by far like the best quarterback, especially the best quarterback for fantasy so far this year. And so with Trey Lance, let's take a look at Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel thrived huge, big time, thriving 4-1 Deebo Samuel with Trey Lance at the helm. And so he has been good all year, whether it's been Garoppolo or Lance at the helm. But Deebo Samuel with a half of Jimmy Garoppolo had 8 catches for 156 and 2 touchdowns on the game, as well as one carry for 1 yard. So Samuel, you know, I've been kind of doing this victory lap all season long so far, but he is the wide receiver one in San Francisco. He is going to be the consistent threat. He's had nine targets, 6 targets, 5 targets, 8 targets, and 2-2-1 carries over the last 3 games. So Samuel's the wide receiver one. That's a good thing in the Shanahan offense. And as Trey Lance gets more into the fold, when Trey Lance is named starter probably in a few weeks, that's only going to be beneficial for one Deebo Samuel as he continues to play well. So I currently probably think that Deebo Samuel is undervalued in Dynasty. I'm assuming you could probably get him in the like wide receiver 20 to 24 range. And I think he probably belongs in the team from like the 14 to 18 range. So if you can, there's not buying low, obviously, because he just scored 35 fantasy points, but I still think that there is room for growth in his value when Trey Lance is at the quarterback position. So if there's some mediocre weeks, by mediocre, like a 10-point week, a 12-point week with Garoppolo out there, then, you know, there's a chance, obviously, with Garoppolo might not play next week. So the window might close shut really quickly. But as far as this Niners offense, I think the buys are Trey Lance and Deebo Samuel, even at their elevated price tag. Yes, they're more expensive than they were a week ago, but they could be even more expensive than that in a week after they play the Cardinals. I very much, looking at their schedule, they have Cardinals by Colts. I would not be surprised if let's say Garoppolo is out due to an injury against the Cardinals, Lance plays well, maybe Lance wins the game, and then they're like, okay, we hit the bye week, we're just going to go with Lance moving forward. But you never know with these coaches, with Matt Nagy still proclaiming that Justin Fields is the starter. Wait, I said that backwards. Andy Dalton is the starter, is what Matt Nagy keeps on saying. I wish he was saying that Justin Fields was the starter. Well, I do wish that Justin Fields was a starter, and he did get a win against the Lions. Looking at his box score, not exactly pretty. 11 for 17 for 209 yards and the interception, no touchdowns. But they were able to get him in motion a little bit. They moved him around a little bit more than they did in the previous week against the Browns, which isn't saying much because they had 8 sacks against the Browns. But I do think Fields has an opportunity playing the Raiders next week to, you know, if he can play well, if he can maybe open up the Bears offense a little bit, that he can then be successful and the starter for the Bears as well. But Matt Nagy, once again, probably a little bit stubborn, probably a little bit seeing like, okay, Fields hasn't been playing great, but like, at the end of the day, how good is Andy Dalton playing? Not very. Next, we're going to go with Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is back over the last two games, 21.4 against the Falcons, 16 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown, 6 carries for 43 yards against the Falcons, and then 6 receptions, 43 yards against Falcons. And then in week 4 against the Saints, 29.6 PPR points, 13 carries for 52 yards and a touch, 5 receptions for 74 receiving yards and that touchdown. And so as we've talked about over and over and over, Daniel Jones is what's holding back a explosion from Saquon Barkley, of a consistent play of week in and week out, you know, 25-point games. Just the Giants offense just hasn't been good enough. And yet Barkley has had two very solid games the last 2 weeks. But long-term, it's just not a viable thing. With Daniel Jones, in the last 3 seasons, he has averaging 15.2 points when Daniel Jones plays. Yeah, 15 points when Daniel Jones plays, and 21 points when he does not, so over the last 3 seasons. So Daniel Jones continues to be an inhibition for one Saquon Barkley, but he continues to put up some numbers on the road as well. Now, before we talk about the Washington football team, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Colm Kelly here, the executive producer of the RotoViz Radio Podcast Network and co-host of the RotoViz Overtime Podcast, along with the phenomenal Sean Siegel. The wait is over, the NFL season is here, and there's no better time than the present to sign up for a RotoViz NFL Pass. You'll get access to all of our content, all of our tools, and everything you need to help you for that in-season success. As a loyal podcast listener, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass just by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. Let's go get those championships. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Thank you so much to our lovely sponsors. We appreciate you. We love you, especially RotoViz. Promo code RVRadio for a 20% or a 10% discount on your RotoViz pass. You got to get it going on. And someone who has had it going on from a fantasy perspective over the last 3 weeks is Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke might be your classic example of not great for real football, very good for fake football. Over the last 3 weeks, 20 in your standing quarterback scoring, 20 points for week two, 21 points for week three, and 27.9 against the Falcons on the road in week four, 290 passing yards, three touchdowns, along with five carries for 43 yards. I actually weirdly see some dynasty value in Taylor Heinicke. You might say, well, that's crazy. He's never going to have a long-term job. And I don't think he will. But I think that he screams journeyman. He screams Ryan Fitzpatrick. He screams Andy Dalton. Obviously, Andy Dalton had a much longer, more successful career than Heinicke will. But he screams a guy that's going to hang around and is going to be getting starts over the next several years. So if the person in your Superflex Dynasty League does not believe Heinicke will be making starts past, you know, past midseason or past whenever Fitzpatrick is off IR, if he's even coming off IR, or Taylor Heinicke's not a long-term starter in Washington, I don't think it matters. I think that Taylor Heinicke will be making starts for football teams, whether it's the Washington football team or another football team. He'll be making starts over the next several years, Taylor Heinicke will. And he's got that rushing upside. He's had 17 rushing yards, 6 rushing yards, 21 rushing yards and a touchdown, and 43 rushing yards in the first four games. So Taylor Heinicke has played well so far this season from a fantasy perspective, and he's going to continue to get that opportunity because Fitzpatrick is out. And we talked about this in the offseason when we were buying Fitzpatrick in Superflex because they have the weapons. They have Logan Thomas. They have Terry McLaurin. They have Curtis Samuel who's coming back from injury. And so all these guys and Antonio Gibson, who's a good receiver out of the backfield, J.D. McKissick is a good receiver out of the backfield. All of this equals opportunity for scoring and is a positive indicator for Taylor Heinicke's rest of his season. And in the last two seasons with Taylor Heinicke starting, a little bit of small sample size, only 3 starts for Taylor Heinicke so far. But he has played well with Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin is averaging 16.37 PPR points in his 3 games with McLaurin as starter. I mean, with Heinicke as starter and scoring 15.05 outside of that split in games where someone not named Heinicke as starter. So I expect to see a lot of the Heinicke to McLaurin connection. And I think it's a positive for – it's definitely not the negative that I thought it was. When the Fitzpatrick injury happened, I was worried that McLaurin wasn't going to get those deep shots, wasn't going to get those reckless balls. But it seems that Heinicke is playing a very similar fashion to one Ryan Fitzpatrick, both through the air and on the ground. Next up, we have Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell is a guy who I was intrigued by as a Devy prospect. And then when he fell to day 3 of the NFL draft, I became much less intrigued as a rookie prospect. Solely because it's just so hard to get going as that day 3 running back. It's so hard to get those consistent touches. But Kenneth Gainwell is out touching that draft capital so far in the first 4 games of his career. He's getting some touches that I was not expecting him to get. He's getting some goal line work. He has 2 touchdowns in the season in 4 games. And looking at his touches, he had 11 touches in week 1, 8 touches in week 2, 4 touches in week 3, and 9 touches in week 4. Definitely not the type of, touches that I was expecting from a third round running back behind Miles Sanders and even Boston Scott to an extent. But he was a huge threat as a receiving threat in week 4. He had 6 catches for 58 receiving yards on 8 targets, along with 3 rushes for 31 and a touch. So, yes, you're not going to get 20 points every week from Kenneth Gainwell, but it does look like he's going to be a thorn in the side of Miles Sanders managers because he's going to be getting a lot of that goal line work, and he's getting the receiving work that we've been wishing that Miles Sanders would get throughout his career. So I think that Gainwell might be another. I feel like this is the Buy High podcast, that Kenneth Gainwell might be an addition of a Buy High, where people are like, oh, he looks decent. Like, oh, he's putting together a couple points, but they aren't valuing him as like an NFL RB2 yet. And that's certainly what he is when he's getting the amount of touches that he is so far this season as a rookie and as a day three rookie. So certainly promising from my perspective on what we've seen from Kenneth Gainwell so far. And lastly, we'll wrap up the podcast with some might consider it a buy high, some might consider it a sell high. No matter what, it is high. It is Cordarrelle Patterson, Atlanta Falcons running back / wide receiver, listed on your My Fantasy League platform as a wide receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson, speaking of touches, he hasn't ever received this many consistent touches in his career. In week one, 2 catches and 7 rushing attempts. In week 2, 5 catches and 7 rushing attempts. Week 3, 6 catches, 7 rushing attempts. And in week 4, 5 catches and 6 rushing attempts. And, oh, by the way, 3 touchdowns with 82 receiving yards. So I think I said a week ago or 2 weeks ago that this wouldn't be a sustainable concept for Cordarrelle Patterson. But seemingly, he is going to be a gigantic thorn in the side of Kyle Pitts fantasy managers and Calvin Ridley fantasy managers, but also he's going to be startable on his own. Like, I, against the Jets in week 5, if I have Cordarrelle Patterson, and assuming like I need a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, I'm sliding Cordarrelle Patterson into that spot. And so if you're looking to make a win now, buy high type trade, I still don't think it's going to be an overwhelming amount of cost in order to acquire Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, it's not going to be a first. And if you're acquiring a guy that you consider a starter, which honestly, I consider Cordarrelle Patterson a starter for the rest of the season to this stage with the amount of touches that he's been getting, you can spend a second. You can spend a mid-second, late second. It might seem a little bit costly if you end up doing an early second, but you're getting a starter. You're getting a guy who is getting the touches, and that's who Cordarrelle Patterson is at this stage. So he's been impressive so far this season with all the points he's been putting up. And you know, I think he's just going to continue getting those touches with the Falcons. They're a bad football team, and that doesn't even matter because he's getting carries as well. So he's getting the carries, getting the receptions. And so I do think that in trailing games, the game script will be better for Cordarrelle Patterson because he's getting the receptions out of the backfield and in the slot. But either way, Cordarrelle Patterson, didn't expect to be saying this a month ago, but Cordarrelle Patterson is a legitimate starter in fantasy leagues right now. All righty, that should wrap us up for this evening. Hope you enjoyed the ramblings of Nathan Powell. And make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Follow Dan at FFDynastyDan, myself at NPowellFF. We appreciate you. And promo code RVRadio 2021, 10% discount. Get it. You know, it's coming up Halloween. Get yourself a Halloween present. Roto-Viz promo code RVRadio 2021. We'll see you guys next week. Kadoosh! I won't see you because it's a podcast. You'll hear me next week.